Welcome to the Dairy Brothers Guardians Cast, your best podcast spot for all things Cleveland Guardians baseball. Presented by WaitingForNextYear.com. Follow Matt on Twitter at Dairy Speaks and Todd at TD Guardians KU. The Dairy Brothers Guardians Cast is on the air.
Surprise, surprise, everybody. We are back, late September edition on the Evergreen Podcast Network at WaitingForNextYear.com of the Dairy Brothers Guardians Cast. Matt and Todd with you as the season's coming to a close. The last week of the season, Todd, two with the Reds as we record right now, and then three with the unnamed team. All three games this weekend in the city of Detroit, the 3-1-3, Southeast and Michigan. And Miguel Cabrera will play.
And you'll be going to zero.
There's a 24 engraved in the outfield. And it is also...
Is that for how many children he has? Is that for how many families he has?
Oh, man.
Oh, that's below the belt. You might have to cut that out.
We're not cutting it out. It's fine.
Guess who's back? Back again. Woo! We're back, baby. Come on. I just wanted
There's been nothing to talk about. Nothing.
I mean, do you want to talk about Cam Gallagher still getting at bats?
No. I mean, there's Terry Francona's retiring. And he was on that podcast with Jason Stark and Doug Glanville on The Athletic yesterday. By the way, speaking of The Athletic, Zach Meisel's been busy. Big article about Tito, big piece great on piece. Will Benson.
Also a great piece, yeah.
And but anyway, we are back. We're brought to you by the Center for Advanced Dentistry, Rise and Grind Fitness, and of course, Breaking Tea t-shirts at BreakingTea.com/dairy. I'm sure there will be a Jim Schwartz t-shirt soon. But I don't know, Todd, we decided we needed to do a show. I mean, it's the end of the line here for Tito, and I don't know. I mean, I've semi been paying attention. Have you been watching at all?
I've been watching a little. I will say this past weekend series against the Orioles, I watched the entire game. Well, Friday night, we were over at some friend's house, and we had the game on. So I watched basically that entire game. Saturday, the early innings, because it started at 6 before we went out Sunday, 0. Because by the time I realized, you know, we're watching NFL football, and by the time I realized that it was, time to check on the guards, I looked at the score, and Tristan McKenzie was already out and had walked 6 guys. And
no,
it was like
no, no.
the second inning.
You're not even telling the story correctly. You texted me and the executive producer, and you wait, Tristan McKenzie's back? What are we doing? I said, well, he's out there. And then, well, he was out there.
Right. That was the quote you had. And then .. Actually, he was out there. That's right.
Right.
I didn't even realize that they had activated him. I wanted to see what Bieber gave them on Friday night. And he worked enough and got through 5 innings. And it's clear this is a, hey, everyone, let's show Shane Bieber's health is under control so we can trade him this offseason. That's all this is about. What they're doing with McKenzie, I do not understand.
Neither do I.
Maybe Tristan's like, you know what, guys? I got to be out there. I need to do this for me. I'm not going to pitch deep into a game, but you know, who knows? We don't know, because they certainly wouldn't tell us what they were doing. So, so there's that. And
tell us when.
I don't know. Tell us, Frank. That's right.
I think you got to give Bieber and McKenzie credit for fighting back and rehabbing and getting to a place where they're both out there. I love the fact that Shane Bieber's getting a couple of starts here, because you could showcase him, like you said, and the first start wasn't really that great. But for McKenzie, a guy that has had injury issues the last couple of years, and we know how frail he is, I wouldn't have sent him back out there. But again, you know, they're shutting down the young kids for the most part now. And so you're basically riding with Cal Quantrill and, other veterans, and that's it. So I guess you have to fill out the rotation for the rest of the year. And I think they want to win games for Tito and try to finish on a high note. But the bottom line is, like, Thursday and Friday were really fun against the Orioles. I want to talk about the Orioles, actually. And they battled, and a couple of comeback wins. It was really nice to watch. But then reality kind of kicked in over the weekend when Baltimore needed those games and started mashing a little bit. I mean, Baltimore is a superior team, you know?
Yeah. I'm with you. The Friday night game was actually a lot of fun. The back and forth was great. And you know, I had no problem starting Bieber. That's fine. And to your point, you know, Tanner Bibee has obviously been shut down for the season. He got injured, and obviously they said that's enough is enough. And, you know, they don't want to keep, you know, they want to keep the innings down with Gavin Williams and Logan Allen, as we've said many times. So with Cal Quantrill back and Bieber and McKenzie and Hunter Gaddis was pitching the other day, and, you know, and he's still at Curry, you know, so it's fine. Listen, the bottom line is here is this last week is all about Tito and the retirement. And, you know, like you said, I'm sure they want to win for him. But does he want to win for himself when he plays Miles Straw every game and Cam Gallagher still getting starts? I don't want to bash the guy in the way out. I shouldn't do that. That's not nice.
No, hold on, hold on. You bring up something interesting. You bring up something interesting because all of these tributes that are going out about Tito, whether it's Meisel or Mandy Bell or the podcast that he did with Jason Stark or the t-shirts that they're printing and all the history of the 11 seasons that he managed here, the guy was tremendous and is tremendous. But the bottom line is, you're right, he's leaving in a weird spot. He keeps saying it's time and I'm feeling it and physical. But, you know, this season has been a marked downer for everybody. You know, front office needs to take some big time heat. Ownership needs to take heat. The manager, who usually is untouchable, has to take heat, and the players. So it's like he's leaving on good terms with everybody, and the organization's in decent shape. This was a bad year, but he did not do a good job this year.
No, this was his worst managerial year by a mile. And here's what I think. And when we talked about this on this podcast before, I believe that I almost just got rear-ended, by the way. Changing lanes, baby. I'm picking up my in-laws at the airport.
All right. You like Seinfeld?
Oh, that's right. Oh, this guy's literally trying to kill me. Oh, my God. This guy just ran up on me. And did you hear that horn? It's all right. Whatever. Anyways, the point is he was great for 10 years. I think truly had last year gone differently and they had gotten to the World Series, he would have retired. But I think that, and I also think if last year would have been this year, as I said on this podcast, his health hasn't been good for three seasons. You remember the COVID year, he barely managed. That was the Sandy Alomar show. DeMarlo Hale made a ton last year. And I think Tito was re-energized by the playoff run last year and was like, you know what? I don't want a season-long tribute. I'm going to give this one last shot because it's a good team. If they sucked last year, there's no way he was managing this team this year. No way. I think he tried to gut through one more year, and about halfway through, he realized that this, you know, I can't do this anymore. And I think it showed in his managing. And listen, we've all had jobs where we've all cashed in at the end. And I'm not saying that Tito is cheating the team and cheated the game in any way, because he would never do that, because that's just not him. But it's very simple in any career, in any walk of life, when you know it's over, to take the foot off the gas, per se. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's very easy for him to just be like, screw it. You know, like, I'm not going to pinch it here. Let Miles Straw hit. You know, like, you're not you're not thinking it through the way you normally would. I guess it's the best way of putting it.
It's disappointing. But again, this has gone on all year. Like you said, I mean, the fact that Cam Gallagher not only just plays once in a while, but is still on the team. Miles Straw never gets pinch hit for, or occasionally. Guy like Will Brennan starts getting hot. Then there's a lefty on the mound, so he sits. No, we need to see Will Brennan against lefties, righties, ambidextrous. I don't care. We need to see him.
Exactly. Like, why is Bo Naylor sitting against lefties?
You know?
It's just, no, there's no point. Yeah.
I mean, Reynaldo Lopez, and again, now we're breaking down games 156 and stuff, but Reynaldo Lopez, you know, does a great job in the seventh inning and throws eight pitches, and then, nope, Stephen's coming in for the eighth. Stephen sucks. What?
Yeah.
God bless Trevor. I'm a Trevor fan, but he's had a horrible year. Why is he still your eighth inning guy? Why am I getting fired up about this? But you know what I mean? Tito loves him.
I do.
So It made no sense. Still to this day, stuff doesn't make sense. These guys are trying, still playing hard. Look, Andrés Giménez has had a bad year. I'm a huge Andrés fan. He's had a great September. He's waking up.
Yeah.
But it's like, where was this in June?
Where were this 2 blocks ago?
Oh, when I could have used you.
Yeah, I mean, seriously. No, he really, you're right. But, you know, back to Tito, I mean, you can look back and just go back to that first year in 2013 where you're coming off the act the ball era where those 2 years,
good God,
you know, they started 30-15 that one season. And then you thought things were good. And then they went south. And then again, they started, they made the trade for, you know, Ubaldo. And how about Ubaldo for Drew Pomeranz and Alex White? You know, it turned out to be worth it because in 2013,
yeah,
Ubaldo carried them to a playoff appearance. And the magic of Tito in the year one, the team stunk the year before, and he gets them into the wild card in the first year. And it was, which was great.
It was great.
And so we're like, all right. And you know, the one thing I would say about the Tito era, good and bad, or there's two things. Number one, when it was good, it was great. You know, you can talk about the 22 game winning streak in 2017, the 2016 run to the World Series where he pulled every single right string, and in that playoff run in October. I mean, you look back on that, and it's still incredible to think about the fact that essentially it was Corey Kluber, Josh Tomlin, and and the relievers, and they made it to Game 7 of the World Series and
amazing.
Everyone lead. I mean, every string the guy pulled was right. I mean,
yes,
it was great. And then the downside, 17 season after 2016, and it's obviously the playoffs were a disappointment, but they were the best team in baseball, and they lost in the first round to the Yankees. But
right,
but it was a disappointment. But
gagging against the Yankees is something that, you know, Tito obviously didn't do in Boston. He brought them over the hump, and then did do in Cleveland. And of course, the Astros cheated in that one series, so that doesn't count. It's
no,
true.
But the point I'm making is the one thing that they did have negatively other than 2017 was whenever they went into a season with expectations, they seemed to fall short. But when they weren't expected to do something, you know, they usually then did it. Do you know what I mean? Like last year they came out of completely out of nowhere. And then this year with, you know, people, you know, they were even a trendy World Series pick by some, didn't work out. So I don't know. I don't know what that says about him. I know that the guys played hard for him. I know that everyone loved him. He made a gigantic change in culture in this organization. And he's the greatest manager to ever manage this team in this franchise, I believe. And, you know, you can have Paul Brown and, you know, and whoever else, but Tito's probably the best manager slash coach in Cleveland sports history. There's an argument to be made. He's definitely in the top two.
What about Marty Schottenheimer?
You picked the fine time to leave us, Marty. That's right.
Don't blame Mac and Beiner.
That's right. Marty, you know what's funny about Marty? You look back, he only coached 85 to 88.
I know.
85, 86, 87, 88. That was it.
People
it just
still
happened
think
to be our peak years.
People still think he coached in 89. They forget about Bud Carson.
First game of the year, Bud Carson. We were there, baby, in Three Rivers.
That's right.
51-0.
Man, that Weston William Penn, man. What a hotel. What a night. What a
and
time.
I just stayed there for Taylor Swift. That's what's so funny.
Oh, first Taylor Swift reference of the pod. I think her and Travis Kelce's awesome. I think this is great for the NFL.
I do too.
You know,
Cousin Steve sent me a text. He said, how many Travis Kelce jerseys have you ordered for your household already? And it's true. I already thought about getting one for Brooke, but I didn't.
I mean, that's awesome. Dairy Brothers Guardians cast. The proprietor, by the way, of Horizon Grind Fitness is with us today. That would be one Todd Dairy.
Managing partner.
Managing. Is that your
managing
title?
Partner.
I
yes,
heard
that
about
is my
the
title. By the way.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I was just going to say, by the way, the merch is in. We got sweatshirts. We got t-shirts. We got tank tops. We got trucker hats.
Really?
So come by the studio. Come on, corner Chagrin and Brainerd, right above Bank of America. Come check it out. Tell them I sent you. Free class. Best group fitness studio in Cleveland. Bike boot camp, regular boot camp, cycle classes, bar, yoga, you name it, we got it. Come on.
You have a bar there? I'm just kidding. It's, I know it's bar, B-A-R-R-E. Even I know that.
Well, listen, you're a fitness pro now.
Oh, please.
You know? I mean, now that you and Gunner, I mean, you're a fitness pro.
Yeah, yeah. I'm down a little bit of weight. I added some on, but I've been better lately. CFAD.net, Center for Advanced Dentistry. Check out Dr. Ben Hornstein, Dr. Sean, and everything that's going on there. They're the best dentists in the country. And of course, Breaking Tea t-shirts. Get all your Browns, Guardians, and Cavs gear at BreakingTea.com/dairy. That's Breaking Tea, the letter T.com/dairy. Guardians will play the Reds for two. Will Benson back in town. I saw a video on Instagram. Will Benson was playing Stephen Kwan in chess today.
Oh, that's awesome. I love Will Benson. Great dude. Great dude.
He is a great dude. When's Junior Caminero coming back to town to play chess? Let's bring them all back. That's going to go down as the worst trade maybe in the history of the organization.
Well, if he turns out to be the stud that all of a sudden he's become, it's going to be the worst ever, considering Tobias Myers pitched one season at AAA, went 1-9 with a 6 ERA, and then was DFA'd. I mean, and they gave away. I mean, here, Caminero was 18 when they traded him. I'm not saying there's no way of knowing, because there is a way of knowing. That's your job to know.
Right. You don't, right. You don't do that.
Just atrocious. Just atrocious. Let's see.
And Nolan Jones's numbers are through the roof. And I know it's the Rockies and everybody hits in Denver, but it just, you know, when you watch some of these games and you see the offense struggle, and then you watch highlights and you see Will Benson shopping at the Gap and Nolan Jones doing well, and the Rays are bringing up Caminero, and it's like, and the kid in Houston, Diaz, oh my God, he's doing great.
He'd be second on the Guardians in home runs. You know, the thing is,
Bo Naylor's really good. He is.
The thing about Nolan Jones is this: Juan Brito may be your starting second baseman halfway through next year with Andres playing shortstop. We don't know that. But he's a stud. He was their minor league player of the year. He had a great season. And again, we've seen many prospects come and go. And we've seen them bust. We've seen them hit. But if it turns out that Juan Brito is great, no one's going to give a shit about Nolan Jones's good season so far.
I know, but let's pump the brakes. I looked at Juan Brito's numbers. I think that the organization is feeding some of the beat writers, some of the older writers, a little bit of, you know, feeding them a little bit of birthday cake with plenty of icing. Check out Brito. He's our player of the year in the minors. The numbers are good, but he is not, those are not great numbers. Like, hold on a second here. Like, Chase DeLauder's numbers are great.
Yes.
Brito's numbers, good. I'm not ready to go, pencil him in next year. I know that Hoynsey's big on the Jimenez could be your shortstop next year and stuff. I still think this team will trot out Arias opening day at shortstop because they love his glove and his arm. But
yeah,
and hope he hits. But I'm not ready to crown Brito yet, because a lot of it, I think, is planting. I want to see some better number, even better number. I think he's going to be good, but you know, all these guys have been all the same. To me,
that's true.
What are they doing in field next year? What are they doing in center field?
Well, that's the biggest. That's going to be the biggest question mark, and I'm sure we will discuss this in the off season. But you know, the disappointing thing about Benson and Jones is the fact that Oscar Gonzalez, Will Brennan, and to a lesser extent Stephen Kwan all had, two of them had very below average to bad years, and Kwan was just fine. You know, so that's the big rub, and Straw is terrible, and we knew that going in, and yet he still essentially is going to get 600 plate appearances, which is to give a guy who is basically the worst hitter in baseball that many plate appearances for another year. I don't care how great his glove is. It defies logic, especially when you, and you said it on this podcast many times, if that guy is your starting starting center fielder and playing every day next year, there's a real serious problem.
There is.
I truly believe that's not going to happen. I think they're going to somehow dump him on someone else who wants him as a fourth outfielder. And Will Brennan will probably play center field, and then they're going to find someone for right field. They have to. And you know what else? It's time to trade the glut of middle infielders and get yourself a real bat and package together Shane Bieber and a couple of your, you know, whether it's Rocchio because there's now not room for him or whatever, and get yourself a real legitimate outfielder. It's like enough's enough, right?
Yeah, I agree. And free agency, I looked at the list the other day, the free agent bats, there's not a lot. This is not a great
class. we're not signing anyone again. I mean, this year was a disaster again. They have to make a trade. It's got to be a trade. That's my opinion. I don't think they're signing anyone, and if they do, it'll be one of these, you know, flyer guys for a year. It's not going to be they're not doing Josh Fell again.
Who they should sign and give some money to this offseason is Josh Naylor, because that guy's just awesome. And I hope they lock him up and keep he and his brother together, because his brother's a stud. I mean, of all these young guys we talked about, the disappointments and this and that, and, you know, some of them are 4A. Some of them look like fourth outfielders. Some of them look like utility guys. The one guy you know can do it, and he's back in the lineup tonight, is Bo Naylor. I mean, he's been awesome. He has. That's not an easy position to play at that age. And all the injuries and not having much protection in the lineup, and yet that guy performs. I'm excited about the future of Bo Naylor for sure.
Well, I mean, he handled the staff. The big thing that bothers me the most about the Bo Naylor season, and it has nothing to do with him, is how they handled him. You burned $6 million on Zunino, which was a gigantic mistake, because Bo wasn't ready defensively. And then Bo came up and he was fine. He was actually better than Zunino would have been. So they wasted, 2 months, and they wasted time where they could have been seasoning him. And again, I said this before, I'll say it again. All I hear is, oh, Sandy Alomar is so good with the catchers. Then why was Bo Naylor in AAA working with other people when he could have been working with the guy who you claim is the greatest developer of catchers there is? Why wasn't he here?
But when ownership cuts a check for $6 million, this isn't like the Yankees and Mets that can just, oh, I'll just trade it and eat it. It's like,
no, right. You know, but they cut him after 2 months.
I know.
Because he was that bad.
And no one's picked him up.
Nobody wanted him. That tells you all you need to know right there.
All right. What else? Anything else?
What else? We want to talk any Dairyberg Fantasy League? I'm off to a 1-2 start.
I'm horrible.
Actually, I got this text from your nephew last night. Let me just read you this, because
what, Andrew, is he talking crap to me already by my team?
Yes, I believe the text was something to the effect of
Uncle Matt's team blows. Love, Andrew.
I actually think that was the exact quote. Oh my God,
oh, really?
Uncle Matt's team blows. Uncle Matt's team is so fucking bad.
Oh, really? He dropped an F-bomb?
Well, he is, a junior in high school. Did he drop an F-bomb? God.
Well, in my defense, I have Justin Jefferson and a lot of other pieces, and I'm waiting for the Jahmyr Gibbs breakout, which could happen Thursday night. When the 2-1 Honolulu Blue and Silver Warriors take on the Packers. We'll see. Just it's still early. That's all I got to say.
But back to baseball. I'll be curious to see how many people show up these next two nights for Tito's finale.
Are they doing the shirts both nights, or just the Wednesday game?
I think it's just the Wednesday game.
They said
what they really should have done is
fans. It's like, you're really going to get 20,000 on a Wednesday night?
Right. I think they should have done it all weekend. If they were smart, they would have done it Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and said, just did a big tribute to Tito weekend. But it sounds like anything that was going on there, he was shutting down. He doesn't want anything.
Yeah. which I respect.
He did not want it.
Which I respect.
Yeah, of course. I mean, listen, this he's not Coach K looking for that full year victory lap. He's Roy Williams, classy on the way out. Doesn't want to, you know,
hey,
doesn't want a.
He's Jim Boeheim. James Arthur didn't want to do that.
Yeah, that's called forced out. And Tito's only in his 60s, not 80.
By the way, I am.
How are we doing on the tickets for the IUKU game?
That was what I was just about to say. You won't even believe what's going on right now in Bloomington, Indiana for December 15th. That's all I got to say. There is some shady stuff going on. We're going to get there. You know, I always deliver, but this I'm having to roll my sleeves up for this one. This is some BS.
All right. Well, listen,
I had a great contact at a certain place and they got back to me and said, I got you taken care of. And I said, great. And they said, but you got to buy the package that also includes Alcorn State and this game and that game. I'm like, get out of here.
Oh, really?
Because the students aren't going to be there for that game. So Advantage Kansas right there. Some students stay, but.
Well, how much extra is that going to be?
It's too much.
We're going to pay through, as I told the boys, Dr. Borland and JB and Mark P, everyone who's going to be making
the trek. Is Mark
P
coming to this event? He'll be
100%.
There? Good.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
As I told them, we're going to pay what we're going to pay. That's just how it's got to be.
I know. It's crazy, though. We'll be fine. College hoops right around the corner.
Can't wait, man. Are you kidding? It's going to be friggin' great. Number one team in the country. Hunter Dickinson.
Oh, God.
In the crimson and blue. Jabroni. I just can't wait because Jer is always the executive producer has always been a massive supporter of Kansas basketball.
You're going to have to be very careful.
And he is not liking the Hunter talk. No, we've had to tone it down.
He's loyal. Come on now. All right. Yeah. That'll do it for the Dairy Brothers Guardians cast. 5 games left. All right, let's just have some fun here. What's the record going to be? Wait a minute. What is our record right now?
Well, I was going to say, what's the record now?
The Guardians' record right now is 74-83. So if we run the table, which we won't, the best we could do is 79 wins. 2 with the Reds, 3 with the unnamed team. What do you think?
Out of the last 5, they're going 2-3.
Oh, I got news for you. I forgot about this. We have a half game edge on the Tigers.
Yeah. Because
you watch.
You're saying they have 6 games left and we
they
have 5.
Care. And the Detroit media cares about what place you finish in. See, I'm of the Ricky Bobby philosophy. If you ain't first, you're last.
That's right.
The season's been over for months, you know, other than cousin Steve telling me we still got a chance. No, it's been over.
He loves his Guardians, though. He watched more than you and I this year.
Yeah, I know he has, but
we should have had him on the pod. But then again, we would only
these
have like
games
30
this
minutes.
Weekend down at Comerica Park. They're going to fill him up to see Miggy. He's going to play in all the games. Everybody's going to have the flash bulbs and take their pictures. And they're going to try for second place. Now, I mean, what do these games really mean? But I say we'll finish with 76 wins. I'm with you. 2-3. Maybe split for the Reds, lose 2 out of 3 to Detroit.
Before our next episode, we're going to have to go back and listen to what our predictions were at the beginning of the year. I mean, I know I picked this.
No, we both said they were going to win the division. But
Yeah.
You had more. I had more wins than you last year. I think you had more wins than me this year.
Yeah.
I'm a little afraid of a regression, but not like this.
You're smart. You're smarter than I am.
I don't know about that. You know, but
that goes without saying. Yeah.
All right, buddy. Well, safe travels.
Thank you. And I'm sure we'll do, you know, at least one more like postseason. But as always, a pleasure to do a podcast with you, a legend in the business.
Oh, I don't know about that. Thank you. No, you're the legend. You're running Cleveland right now. Check out Rise and Grind.
Right.
running Woodmere.
Rise and Grind Fitness. Come and check it out at Rise and Grind Fitness on Instagram. And go to Rise and Grind, RYZEANDGRIND.com. Check it out and come into the studio and get some merch.
Thanks to the Center for Advanced Dentistry as well, the Evergreen Podcast Network, and the folks at waitingfornextyear.com, and also Breaking Tea t-shirts as well. We are out of room and out of here.
I'm Ken Harbaugh, host of Warriors in Their Own Words, a podcast that presents the unvarnished, unsanitized truth of what we have asked of those who defend this nation. As a country, we need these stories more than ever. Stories from Americans who have borne the battle, including 30-year-old remastered interviews with veterans from World War I recounting their time in the trenches of Europe, and with veterans from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and from our most recent conflicts in Iraq, Afghanistan, and other battlefields Americans may never have heard of. Hear their stories by listening to Warriors in Their Own Words wherever you find podcasts.